Meredith did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across East of England as you listen. This is their story. A qualified nurse in Norwich South has spent 5 years trying to access the specialist training that would let her work in the wards where she is most needed, only to be told repeatedly that the government cannot afford to fund the places that already exist, in buildings that already have the equipment, taught by instructors who are already employed.
I keep cacti on my windowsill because they are the only plants that survive my life. Jade plants, barrel cactus, a tiny echevarria that my mum gave me when I graduated. They sit there through the chaos of agency shifts, thriving on neglect the way I have learned to thrive on uncertainty. My mum always said I would make a good nurse because I noticed things. She worked in care homes across Great Yarmouth for 20 years, and I watched her see people, really see them, in ways that made all the difference. That is what I wanted to bring to nursing. I graduated from University of East Anglia in 2018 with my degree, and the assumption that the hard part was over. Norfolk needed nurses, I was a nurse. The mathematics seemed straightforward. I applied for permanent positions across Norfolk and Suffolk, NHS Foundation Trust, and Norfolk Community Health and Care, NHS Trust through 2019, confident that my local knowledge and genuine commitment to the community would count for something. Instead, I was told the same thing at every trust. Recruitment is frozen due to budget constraints. The phrase became familiar, polite, final. The HR manager at Norfolk and Suffolk NHS Foundation Trust explained it carefully. We have the posts, but Treasury spending limits mean we cannot fill them this financial year. It sounded reasonable, responsible even. The government had to be careful with money. So I took agency work through NHS professionals and Thornbury Nursing Services. Different ward every week, different protocols, different computer systems, different colleagues who did not know my name. I learned to adapt quickly, to find my feet in new environments without proper induction, but I also learned what it costs to never have continuity. No mentorship, no development. No sense that I was building something or contributing to a team that would remember my work the next week. By 2021, I knew I wanted to specialise. Mental health nursing drew me because I had seen the gaps during my agency placements. The demand was obvious, the need was urgent. I approached Health Education England, East of England, about training places. The response was swift and familiar. Training budgets have been capped by Treasury spending limits. The programme manager was apologetic but firm. There is no funding for additional places this year. I accepted this. The Treasury knew about macroeconomic balance. They had to make difficult choices about where to allocate limited resources. That was their job. In 2022, I tried again, this time for district nursing. The elderly population was growing. Community care was the stated priority. Surely there would be places available. I submitted my application with references from every ward manager who had worked with me, confident that my experience and commitment would be recognised. Only 12 places are funded across the entire East of England region, I was told by the course coordinator. We received over 60 applications. 12 places. For the whole region. I asked why, the answer was the same. Budget constraints set by HM Treasury meant health education. England could not fund more training places, regardless of demand. I was disappointed, but not yet suspicious. Governments had to live within their means, everyone knew that. Then I was walking past the University of East Anglia one Thursday afternoon, cutting through the campus on my way back from a particularly difficult shift. I noticed the nursing simulation labs were dark, empty. This was peak training season, supposedly, yet the state-of-the-art equipment sat unused. I knew those labs, I had trained in them myself. They represented millions of pounds of investment in nursing education. Curious, I stopped and asked a lecturer I recognised from my degree programme why the facilities were not being used. Her explanation changed everything. We have capacity for twice as many students, she told me, full equipment, qualified instructors, everything ready. But Health Education England's budget allocation means we can only fill half the places. The resources are there, the demand is there. Only the funding decision is missing. I stood there looking at the empty simulation bays, the unused equipment, the capable instructors, and something clicked. The government that issues the pound had told me it could not find enough pounds to train nurses in facilities that already existed, taught by instructors who were already employed for wards that desperately needed staff. The constraint was never the money. The constraint was a decision to treat the budget like a household budget, as though the Treasury might run out of currency it creates. The people existed. The skills could be taught. The materials were available. The wards needed us. All of it was real, physical, present. The only thing missing was a line in a spreadsheet that someone at HM Treasury chose not to write. I used to accept the excuse that there was no funding. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. HM Treasury applied household logic to a currency issuer. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I still take agency shifts. I still move between wards where understaffing creates dangerous conditions for patients and impossible workloads for permanent staff. But I understand now that this is not inevitable. It is not the result of difficult but necessary choices about scarce resources. It is the result of treating abundance as scarcity, of pretending that the institution which issues the currency operates under the same constraints as the people who use it. Every empty training place, every unfilled nursing post, every ward running on skeleton staff exists because someone chose to prioritise an accounting fiction over the physical reality of people who want to care for other people. That choice is political, not financial. It is the same choice being made in every constituency where need and capacity exist side by side while Westminster says the cupboard is bare.
What Meredith experienced has a name. Fake experts. This technique borrows credibility from authority figures who repeat the household budget myth as though saying it makes it true. Think of tobacco companies hiring doctors to endorse smoking in the 1950s, or pharmaceutical companies funding studies that minimize side effects. The authority is real, but the message serves an agenda. In Meredith's case, economists and commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident were quoted whenever she questioned the funding constraints. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, she was told. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The fake experts cited were those who reinforced the fiction that HM Treasury works like a household budget, ignoring the fundamental difference between a currency user and a currency issuer. They treated spending limits as economic laws rather than political choices, lending academic credibility to ideological positions. The UK government issues its own currency. The real constraint on nursing training was never the availability of pounds, but the availability of people, facilities, and time. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Norwich South ranks 189 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 4. The constituency has 3,362 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. 360 giving grant nav shows total grants received of £20.5 million. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.